morning, listeners, and happy Easter. On behalf of the Red Bluff Vineyard Church, we wanted to let you know how much you mean to us by sharing an Easter message with you. If you'd like to learn more about our church, visit www.redbluffvineyard.church. Or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Our mission is knowing Jesus and making Him known, and we're the type of church that believes everyone is welcome and that you should come as you are. Since the coronavirus prevents us from meeting publicly, we thought you might enjoy hearing an encouraging Easter message from one of our pastors.
Good morning, Red Bluff. My name is Luke Garrity, and my wife and I, Dawn, lead the Vineyard Church here in town. Together, we have five kids, and we absolutely love living here in Red Bluff. I actually was born and raised in Alaska, and when I was 8 years old, after I had just gotten baptized, I was given a little hermit crab to celebrate my decision to follow Jesus. I named him Henry, and I actually carried Henry everywhere in my pocket with me. No matter where I went, the store, school, he just stayed in my pocket. And you know, one cold, cold winter day, I went and played ice hockey because it was Alaska, and that's what we did for fun. And it was really cold, as I just mentioned. And when I came home, I pulled out Henry and I found out that he was not moving anymore. In fact, he actually fell out of his shell, still not moving. And I was a mess because while it's embarrassing to admit it now, my best friend was that crab, and he appeared to be dead. And I remember thinking about Jesus and how I had just learned that he had been raised from the dead, so maybe Jesus could help. So I prayed, and I breathed warm air on him, and I spent the next 15 minutes praying and breathing on him. And to my surprise, he actually started moving again. So in my mind, Jesus was alive, and so was my hermit crab. So today is Easter. And I want to read you the Easter story, but before I read scripture to you, I want you to imagine that you were one of Jesus' disciples. You had been with him for a few years, and he was not only your friend, but who you believed had come to the world to save him. And you just saw Jesus arrested, beaten, and slandered, and sentenced to die a criminal's death. Now, you had assumed, because you are one of Jesus' disciples in your imagination right now, that Jesus was about to throw off the oppression of the Roman Empire, and he was going to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. You'd watched Jesus heal people, raise people from the dead, and teach on the kingdom of God and love on people. Yet all of your hopes had been crushed as you've just watched Jesus die on the cross. Now, obviously, the disciples were so hopeless that perhaps the word to best describe their feeling would be that of despair. I mean, after Peter had denied Jesus three times, he gave up on everything and went back to his job of fishing. The other disciples had all scattered and were in hiding, so we know the disciples who followed Jesus were hopeless and full of despair. Let's read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. We read, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened."
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to an Easter message from the Red Bluff Vineyard. The Vineyard is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church full of people just like you. Our mission is to know Jesus and make Jesus known, and we welcome everyone to come as they are. If you are looking for a church or want to explore faith and what following Jesus looks like, we'd love to invite you to check us out. You can find out more information about us by visiting www.redbluffvineyard.church or find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
You know, we are here in Red Bluff going into our fourth week of social distancing, and the state of California's stay-at-home order is still in place. And I imagine that many of us are frustrated or discouraged or maybe even angry, and I've talked to many people in our community, and many of them are struggling with a sense of hopelessness. Depending on your media sources, you may be bombarded with a lot of negativity right now. And that's why I think Easter is such an important celebration for us today. We need to be reminded of the new life, the new beginnings, and overall newness that comes with knowing Jesus. We need to be reminded about why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. You know, my family and I moved to Red Bluff just under 4 years ago. And we immediately fell in love with this amazing community. We love it so much because we love the scenery and we love the historic Main Street and the amazing businesses that are spread all around town. And I love having amazing fly fishing all around me and the mountains and the lakes and the rivers. But most of all, we love the people. We love the community of people that exists in our small town here in Northern California. So while you may be discouraged and feeling a bit of despair, let me remind you that there are glimmers of hope that we can cling to in the middle of this global pandemic, in this crisis that the entire world is facing right now. We have glimmers of hope that we can lean into right now. In fact, right now, there are people, essential workers, who are sacrificing every day for you and I, people who work in the medical field here in Red Bluff, police officers, and people who work in our grocery stores. There are teachers all over the community that are doing all they can to love on our kids, and they're continuing to educate our kids despite being unable to meet in classrooms. And I don't know about you, but when I think about these things, I have a lot of hope. But more than anything, when I think about Jesus' powerful resurrection from the dead, I have more hope than I can handle. And you want to know why? Because as a follower of Jesus, I can trust the Apostle Paul's words in the book of Romans when he writes that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in me. The Holy Spirit. And God is ever present for us and wants to give us hope. I believe that God wants to give you hope this morning. I believe that God wants to give you hope as you're listening to this radio broadcast. I think God wants to give you hope throughout this coming week. I think God wants to give you hope as you're wrestling with how you're going to pay your bills. I believe that God wants to give you hope no matter what crisis you are currently facing. So I'm clinging to the hope of Easter, the hope of Jesus' resurrection, the hope that there are women and men all over our community who have been so impacted by Jesus that they continue to sacrifice. And there are people who are extending kindness no matter where they are and no matter what challenges or difficulties they are facing. I think those are some reasons why you right now can have hope.
The Red Bluff Vineyard began nearly 25 years ago with the dream of changing the world, beginning here in Red Bluff. Our church welcomes you to come as you are and remember that no perfect people are allowed. We are a safe place for you to learn more about Jesus, and we have ministries for all ages, From our vintage group, ages 65 plus, on down to the newborn babies in our Vineyard Kids program. Learn more about our church by visiting www.redbluffvineyard.church or finding us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
So for me, Easter is about the return of hope. There are a lot of feelings floating around the Gospels after Jesus was raised from the dead. There's fear, there's awe, there's joy, surprise, there's shock, there's discouragement, there's hopelessness. But I think as the resurrection reality set in, the early followers of Jesus had an explosion of hope. I have a friend named Dick Ray who pastors a Vineyard church in Mechanic Falls, Maine. Many years ago, before he was a pastor, he and his wife Maida had their second child, a son named Nathaniel. When Nathaniel was born, he had a major medical complication, and the doctors told him that they should prepare for him to die at any moment. Now, as you can imagine, Dick and Maida suddenly felt like their lives were in turmoil. Everything felt like a bad dream. And at that time, Dick was a public school teacher, and while they were basically living at the hospital, he went to the high school to spend a few hours preparing some materials for the substitute teachers. Now, most people just don't know what to say or what to do when things like this happen. But when Dick walked into his office, on his desk was a card and a bottle of champagne. When he opened up the card said, "Congratulations on the birth of your son." Now, after Dick read the card, he picked up the bottle of champagne and said to God, "So what am I supposed to do with this? Celebrate?" And Dick says that he immediately heard the Lord's still small voice say, "Your son will live. Save it for his wedding." Well, much to the doctor's surprise, Nathaniel did live past those early days, where it was touch and go and everyone was expecting him to die. Over the years, Nathaniel had many surgeries at Boston Children's Hospital. You see, Nathaniel's chest cavity had large inoperable lymphatic tumors that compromised his lung capacity. Plus, his left arm and hand was severely deformed and the tumors had also infiltrated his spinal column and had caused severe contracture of his right hand and wrist. So over the years, every time there was another surgery or another medical problem, Dick would think of that champagne bottle that was hidden in the back of a cupboard, and he'd wonder if he'd heard God correctly. Well, when Nathaniel turned 18, his health began to dramatically decline, and his pulmonologist admitted him into the hospital and wanted to put in a trach and hook him up to the breathing machine. The doctor was convinced that he would have to be on that for the rest of his short life and that he'd be wheelchair bound. The doctor said, "If you do not agree to the surgery and breathing machine, you will most likely die." Now again, Dick felt the wind knocked out of his sails. As he walked the halls of the hospital, calling everyone he could, asking for prayer, he sensed the Lord say to him, "You are concentrating on a 10-minute conversation with the doctor. I want you to step back and look at 18 years of my faithfulness to your son. I want you to look back at over 50 years of my faithfulness to you. I want you to step back and look at the thousands of years of my faithfulness to my people. Your son will not die today. Go speak life over him." So Dick walked back to Nathaniel's room while his physicians were prepping him for surgery, and he told Nathaniel to look at him. Staring into his son's eyes, he said, "Nathaniel, you are not going to die today. You're not going to die next week. You're not going to die this year. I speak life and I speak abundant life over you." The doctors in the room prepping Nathaniel for surgery looked at Dick like he was just a dad in denial. Then a surgeon approached Dick and asked what he wanted to do. So Dick said, "Monitor him tonight and check his stats tomorrow morning." The doctor agreed, and the next morning, Nate was better, so Dick told them to monitor him through the day and check his stats at night. They all agreed, and he was better. On the third day, they went home with no surgery. Slowly, Nathaniel's health began to improve. Nate was on oxygen 24/7, gradually improving to the point where he no longer needed oxygen. His pulmonologist did tests and his lung capacity increased by 32%, which he had no medical explanation for. Now, Maida and Dick had already planned on continuing their lives with an adult son living with them, but as Nate got better, he began to tell his mom one day, "Mom, I am lonely and I want to have a girlfriend." And like many parents, Dick and Maida had been praying for their son's future wives ever since he was born. And they even did it for Nathaniel. Even though there was a part of unbelief in their prayers, they still prayed. But soon after Nate said he wanted a girlfriend, a precious young lady named Alexandra started attending their church that Dick and Maida had started pastoring at. Alexandra and Nate, over time, fell in love. So on the day of their wedding, Dick had 12 pitchers of sparkling cider set near the head table for a wedding toast. And as he gave the toast, he told everybody at the wedding of the events around Nathaniel's birth. He told them about the card and the bottle of champagne, and he told them the words that he had heard that day, words that he questioned through the many years of surgeries. And at that point, he reached under the table and pulled out the bottle of champagne. He held it up for all to see and said, "I have been waiting 21 years to open this bottle." Now, as you can imagine, the place erupted in cheers and tears, and he filled Nate and Alexandra's glasses, and then he also poured a little bit in each pitcher of cider. Then Dick had Nate's groomsmen go around and fill everyone's glasses, and at that point, they toasted God's faithfulness, and Nate and Alexandra now have that empty bottle as a testimony of God's goodness. In the same way that that empty bottle continues to inspire hope for Dick's family, the empty tomb inspires hope for the church. It empowers and is the foundation for those of us who have joined God's mission of knowing Jesus and making him known. It's because Jesus is alive that you can have hope, hope to rebuild broken relationships, hope to share God's love with everyone, hope to trust God even in the most difficult and challenging times, hope to make it through a global pandemic, and hope to follow the risen Jesus wherever he may lead.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to an Easter message from the Red Bluff Vineyard. The Vineyard is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church full of people just like you. Our mission is to know Jesus and make Jesus known, and we welcome everyone to come as they are. If you are looking for a church or want to explore faith and what following Jesus looks like, we'd love to invite you to check us out. You can find out more information about us by visiting www.redbluffvineyard.church or find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
Let's have a reality check. Not only will all of us suffer in the future, many of you listening right now are suffering. You might not be suffering to the same extent as others, but I'm sure that you are suffering in some ways, or you will in the future. And I don't want to minimize it like it doesn't matter, because I believe it does. We do suffer because our world is broken. It's a world of suffering and disease and death, and everyone suffers and everyone dies. But guess what? It's because everyone suffers and everyone dies that Easter matters most. Let me tell you why. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul wrote the following words. He says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Did you hear that? For the Apostle Paul and countless others, their deep faith in a very real God was a driving factor toward their ability to suffer and yet have hope. And it's not just a deep faith in general terms, but a deep faith in a very specific historical person, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the crucified Son of God matters tremendously. Paul says that we are basically jars of clay. Jars of clay are easily broken. If they fall off of a shelf, they shatter, and life throws everything it can at you and I in order to shatter us and crush us and destroy us. Yet we can look at Scripture and read about the stories of followers of Jesus in history who prove that not all jars of clay shatter. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, in verse 14, we see that Paul talks about having the same spirit of faith. Every Christian has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That means that if you are a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit lives inside of you. You are God's temple, and because of this, we have a common expression which Paul points out to us. I believed, and so I spoke. Our faith in Jesus causes us to speak. We may speak to God, and we may speak to others about God, but we speak. We speak truth because truth is not silent. But what is the foundational reality for why the Apostle Paul traveled the known world to spread the news about Jesus? What has been the foundational reality that has caused men and women and children to stand against oppression and to suffer greatly for the cause of Christ? I think it's the resurrection. The resurrection of the crucified Son of God matters tremendously. And for the Apostle Paul, the resurrection functions as an underlying assumption to so much of what he writes and what he thinks. So he slips it in all over the place. Writing to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul slips it in by saying that people who follow Jesus believe and speak their faith because they know that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. Your suffering, regardless of what you suffer from, is not in vain. It's because Jesus suffered and was raised from the dead that we can know that we can suffer and we can suffer unto death and still have hope because we serve and follow the risen and ascended Jesus. The resurrection gives us hope despite whatever struggles or suffering we may be facing. Friends, it may be a while since you last connected with God, or perhaps you've never ever really considered having a relationship with God. But I would love to encourage you to consider learning more about Jesus and consider the implications of his death on the cross and his resurrection. And maybe you've never experienced who God is because all of your experience with religious people has left a bad taste in your mouth. But let me tell you right now that Jesus loves you, and there are many followers of Jesus out there who want to be a true representation of what it means to follow Jesus. We would love to encourage you to check out our church if you ever have the time. We generally meet on Sunday mornings, but right now, everything that you can learn about our church is found on our website or on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube. But no matter what, I want you to know that there are people right now who are praying for you, who love you, and we want to be present for you. So if you have any needs, please reach out to us and let us know.
Red Bluff Vineyard began nearly 25 years ago with the dream of changing the world, beginning here in Red Bluff. Our church welcomes you to come as you are and remember that no perfect people are allowed. We are a safe place for you to learn more about Jesus, and we have ministries for all ages, from our vintage group, ages 65 plus, on down to the newborn babies in our Vineyard Kids program. Learn more about our church by visiting www.redbluffvineyard.church or finding us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
I'd love to close this time in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now for any person who is listening to this radio show. I pray that you would help them right now to experience your grace and that you would help them to know resurrection power found in Jesus. I pray that you would open up their hearts to receive you and to continue following you if they already have made a decision to accept you as their Lord and Savior. God, we pray that you would bring a swift end to this global pandemic, that you would heal those who are suffering, that you would provide grace for those who are wrestling and discouraged, God, with the situations that they find themselves in. And more than anything, Lord, we pray that we would be able to honor you and glorify you in all that we do. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
This program has been brought to you by the Red Bluff Vineyard Church. We are a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church that believes deeply in grace, mercy, and love, and we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. We would love to encourage you to check us out at www.redbluffvineyard.church and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. We love you and hope you have a wonderful day. Happy Easter!